When the Titanic went down, April 15, 1912, flotsam was reported months afterward, and there were many survivors, but, after the disappearance of the White Star steamship, the Neronic, in February 1893, two empty lifeboats, supposed to be hers, were reported by a sea captain, and nothing more was seen. In the report by the London Board of Trade, it was considered highly improbable that the Neronic had struck an iceberg. It was said that this vessel was almost perfect, in construction and equipment. She was a freighter, with 75 men aboard. There were life belts for all. New York Times, June 21, 1921. Disappearance of three American ships. Difficult to think of piracy seemed to be no other explanation. Five departments of the Washington government investigating. In February, the Carol Deering, a five-mast schooner, of Portland, Maine, had gone ashore, near Diamond Shoals, North Carolina. The mystery is similar to that of the Marie Celeste. Nobody aboard. Everything was in good condition. The circumstance that attracted most attention was that the crew had disappeared about the time a meal was to be served. A little later, a bottle was picked up on shore, and in it was a message purporting to have been written by the mate of the vessel. "An oil-burning tanker has boarded us, and placed our crew in irons. Get word to headquarters of the company at once." Just how somebody in irons could get a container for a message makes me wonder. Still, if it's a bottle, they say that that could be got by anybody in double irons. In the London Daily Mail, June 22, the finding of another bottle, with a message in it, is told of from the captain of the Deering, this time that he had been taken prisoner by the crew, and had been put upon another vessel. After the Warada mysteriously disappeared, off the coast of South Africa, July, 1909, five bottles, all said to be hoaxes, were found. There is as much complication and bafflement in this subject, as in anything that science is said absolutely to have proved. If some of us tire of our existence, and would like to try some other existence, they had better think it over, because anything merrier than ours is hard to conceive of. Every shipwreck, or any other catastrophe, brings out merrymakers. The tragedy of the Warada was enjoyed a long time. More than 13 years later, November 21, 1922, another bottle, said to be a hoax, was found near Cape Town. Still, I am affected just the other way, and am taking on a new pessimism. Heretofore I have thought cheerfully of bottles. But there's a depression from anything, once the humorists get a hold of it. I wonder how comes it that nobody has reported finding an old bottle, and in it a sea captain's account of an impending mutiny, signed Christopher Columbus. New York Times, June 22, 1921. More ships added to the mystery list. Almost simultaneous disappearances, without a trace, regarded as significant. Times, June 24. About a dozen vessels in the list. And yet such a swipe by an unknown force, of the vessels of a nation, along its own coast, was soon thought of no more. Anything could occur, and if not openly visible, or if observed by millions, would soon be gulfed in forgetfulness. Or soon it would be conventionalized. In the year 1921, it was customary to accuse the Russians. I think that the climax was reached, in the year 1927, when unruliness of natives in the jungles of Peru was attributed to Russian agents. Still, I suppose that, for years, whenever there is revolt against misrule and oppression, propagandists will tell us the same old yarn of otherwise contented natives, misled by those Russians. In June, 1921, the way of explaining the disappearance of a dozen vessels was by saying that it was thought that the Soviet government was stealing them. It may be that constructions from somewhere else have appeared upon this earth, and have seized crews of this earth's ships. In their book, The Crews of the Bacchante, the two young princes, sons of the Prince of Wales, one of them now the King of England, tell of a strange light, as if of a phantom vessel all aglow that was, at 4 o'clock, morning of the 11th of June, 1881, between Melbourne and Sydney, reported by the lookout of the Bacchante. The unknown appearance was seen by 12 other members of the crew. Whether there be relation, or not, 5 hours later, the lookout fell from a cross tree and was killed. Brooklyn Eagle, September 10, 1891. Something that was seen, at Crawfordsville, Indiana, 2 a.m., September 5. Two icemen saw it. It was a seemingly headless monster, or it was a construction, about 20 feet long, and 8 feet wide, moving in the sky, seemingly propelled by fin-like attachments. It moved toward the icemen. The iceman moved. It sailed away, and made such a noise that the Reverend G.W. Switzer, pastor of the Methodist Church, was awakened, and, looking from his window, saw the object circling in the sky. I supposed that there was no such person as the Reverend G.W. Switzer. Being convinced that there had probably never been a Reverend G.W. Switzer, of Crawfordsville, and taking for a pseudo-standard that if I'm convinced of something that is something to suspect, I looked him up. I learned that the Reverend G.W. Switzer had lived in Crawfordsville, in September, 1891. Then I found out his present address in Michigan. I wrote to him, and received a reply that he was traveling in California, and would send me an account of what he had seen in the sky, immediately after returning home. But I have been unable to get him to send that account. If anybody sees a headless monster in the sky, it is just as well to think that over, before getting into print. Altogether, I think that I make here as creditable and scientific a demonstration as any by any orthodox scientist, so far encountered by us. The problem is, did a headless monster appear in Crawfordsville, in September, 1891? And I publish the results of my researches. Yes, a Reverend G.W. Switzer did live in Crawfordsville, at the time. I'd like to know what Mr. W.H. Smith saw, September 18, 1877, in the sky, moving over the city of Brooklyn. It looked like a winged human form, New York Sun, September 21, 1877. Zoologist, July, 1868. Something that was seen in the sky, near Copiapo, Chile. A construction that carried lights, and was propelled by a noisy motor or a gigantic bird, eyes wide open and shining like burning coals, covered with immense scales, which clashed together with a metallic sound. I don't know what will be thought generally of our data, but in the New York Times, July 6, 1873, the writer of general notes tells of something that he considered the very worst case of delirium tremens on record. This was before my time. He copied from the Bonham, Texas, Enterprise that a few days before the time of writing, a man living 5 or 6 miles from Bonham, had told of having seen something like an enormous serpent, floating over his farm, and that other men working in the fields had seen the thing and had been frightened. I suppose that, equally deliriously, inhabitants of the backwoods of China, would similarly describe one of this earth's airships floating over their farms. I don't know that this one account, considered alone, amounts to anything, but, in the Times, of the 7th of July, I found something else noted. A similar object had been reported from Fort Scott, Kansas. About halfway above the horizon, the form of a huge serpent, apparently perfect in form, was plainly seen. New York Times, May 30, 1888. Reports from several places, in Darlington County, South Carolina. Huge serpent in the sky, moving with a hissing sound, but without visible means of propulsion. In the London Daily Express, September 11, 1922, it is said that, upon September 9, John Morris, coxswain of the Barmouth, Wales, lifeboat, and William James, looking out at sea, from the shore, at Barmouth, saw what they thought was an aeroplane falling into the ocean. They rushed out in a motor boat, but found nothing. In the Barmouth Advertiser, of the 14th, it is said that this object had fallen so slowly that features described as features of an aeroplane had been seen. In newspapers and aeronautical journals of the time, there is no findable record of an aeroplane of this earth reported missing. there was a series of occurrences, in the summer of 1910. Early in July, the crew of the French fishing smack, Jean-Frédéric, reported having seen, in the sky, off the coast of Normandy, a large, black, bird-like object. Suddenly it fell into the sea, bounded back, fell again, and disappeared, leaving no findable traces. Nothing was known of the flight of any terrestrial aircraft, by which to explain, London Weekly Dispatch, July 10. Upon August 17, London Times, August 19, laborers at work in the forest east of Dessau, Germany, saw in the sky an object that they thought was a balloon. It suddenly flamed, and something that was thought to be its car, fell into the forest. The chief forester was notified, and a hunt, on a large scale, was made, but nothing was found. Aeronautical societies reported that no known balloon had been sent up. It was thought that the object must have been somebody's large toy balloon. About this time, the fall from the sky of a white cylinder of marble was reported. One of us pioneers, or whatever we are, Mr. F. T. Meyer, looked up this matter, and learned that the reported occurrence was upon the farm of Mr. Daniel Lawyer, rural Route 4, Westerville, Ohio. I wrote to Mr. Lawyer, asking whether the object could be considered artificial. I had an idea that it might, or might not, be a container of a message that had been fired to this earth from Mars or the Moon or somewhere else. Mr. Lawyer did not like the suggestion of artificiality, which he interpreted as meaning that he had picked up something that had been made in Ohio. He said that it was not an artificial object, but a meteorite. For a reproduction of a photograph of this symmetric, seemingly carved cylinder, 12 inches long, weight about 3 pounds, see Popular Mechanics, 14-801. About 9 p.m., August 30th, lights as if upon an airship, moving over New York City, New York World, August 31. Aviators were interviewed, but all known aircraft were accounted for. World, September 2, that two men had sent up a large kite. Upon the 21st of September, New York Tribune, September 22, a great number of round objects were seen passing from west to east over the lower part of New York City. Crowds stood in the streets, watching them. They were thought to be little balloons. I have records of similar objects, in large numbers, that could not be considered little balloons. For several hours this procession continued. If somebody in Jersey City was advertising, he kept quiet in his bid for publicity. The next day, at Dunkirk, NY, an object, described as an unknown cigar-shaped balloon, was seen in the sky, over Lake Erie, seeming to be unmanageable, gradually disappearing, late in the evening. There was so much excitement in Dunkirk that tugboats went out and searched all night. Toronto Daily Mail and Empire, September 24, that someone on a tugboat had found a large box kite, which had been sent up by a party of campers, and was undoubtedly the reported object.